Amen. If you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the wall. If you can't see that far, you can look on with your neighbors. They will share. Amen. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. When you found it, would you please stand for the reading of the Word of God? Amen. Yeah, he's still praising. That's what I'm talking about. Out of the mouth of babes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this divine opportunity that you have made for us, your children. We declare that we are your sons and daughters. We belong to the Most High God. It is through your Spirit that you have given us life. And we receive the life, Lord, and you said your Son has given us life more abundantly. So, Father, we thank you. And now we ask that you would bring us all into a oneness, that we would have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Father, we love you and we worship you and we honor you. And we thank you for breaking off everything that needed to be broke off, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, as I stand here on holy ground, I ask that you would come now, that you would push down on the spirit of Felix, that your spirit of excellence would raise up and come and teach us today. We need a word from you, Father. Now, Father, have your way. Consecrate me to be used by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians chapter number 4. Beginning at verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. I want every woman that's free, shout, I'm free. Amen. Amen. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Abria and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. No matter what state you in, rejoice. No matter who's with you, break forth a shout. Verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. That's us. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Shout, I'm free. Amen. There's so much in this little bit of this text, but for the women, this is good for the women, but also for men too. I want to talk about the free mother, the blessed mother, and the mother of promise. You may be seated. In this particular text, it is really grasping a hold to the beginning of the Bible, the law of first mention in Genesis. You see the writer, Paul writes to the church of Galatia, and he's letting us know about a story that has been foretold and has already happened. He is giving us a picture of what Christ did for us when we were yet in bondage. That's why I'm glad that they were singing the song, I Hear the Chains Falling. Because sometimes this, you just seem like you're in bondage. But I know somebody came in with some weight on them, stuck in something. But I heard the chains falling. Whatever was trying to hold you, it cannot hold you. Because who the Spirit has set free is free indeed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Everybody who is free. Oh, goodness. And so Paul begins and he writes and he's telling a story to his wife, Sarah. Sarah represents promise. Hagar represents law. Hagar was the servant to Sarah. And because Sarah had gotten old, she thought God had forgotten about her promise. What am I saying? I don't know how long you've been waiting for the promise of God to overtake you, but whatever God has promised you, it shall happen if you just tarry just a little while longer. God is not going to break his promise that he made to you. That's why you've been holding on. That's why you're here today. It's just a reminder. It's in your spirit already. I'm just confirming that which is already inside of you. God's promise shall be fulfilled in your life. Now, all that stuff you've been checking off and praying for you can put that in the drawer and start praying for somebody else, because that is already a promise. It's a done deal. It's a wrap. Now it's not called for prayer. It's called for praise. Tell them thank you until it comes. So then with promises, we look at promises sometimes as it relates to the world. We want everything quick, fast, and in a hurry. But God doesn't work that way. He works through the fulfillment of time, which means that only in the perfect time shall the promises of God overtake you. Now, check this out. Through many, many years, God knew you before your mom and daddy began to date. God knew you. As a matter of fact, your grandparents was kicking it, and he knew you. And so God knew in a fulfillment of time everything that you was going to go through. And there was a certain point in time that he was going to rescue you. And so let me just help you right now. No more guilt in the congregation. There's no more guilt. There's no condemnation against those who are in Christ Jesus. God allowed you to do everything that you did. Yeah, you did it. You got caught for some of it. Some of it you didn't get caught, but you're guilty of it. But listen, the blood of Jesus has covered that up. And now there's no condemnation against you. None. Zero. Now let me serve this up on a silver platter. Your enemy, the one that done you wrong. Listen, you can't charge that against them either, because the blood of Jesus will cover them too if you can forgive them. So then in this text, Paul is painting this picture for us, and something was going on between Sarah and Abram, and they lost faith in waiting for the child. But God had promised. And sometimes we lose faith because we look at the situation. But God doesn't call us to look at the situation. He calls us to look at our faith, which is Christ dwelling in us. And so we shouldn't be so in a hurry for what God has for us, because God has already promised it shall happen. What did he promise us? Jesus came. Jesus said, you shall have life and have it more abundantly. Anybody in here walking in abundance right now? Yeah, you are. And those that don't realize, let me help you real quick. Before you came to Christ, you only had a few relatives. Now look around the room. You got relatives everywhere. Yeah, God bless you with abundance. Abundance. God bless you so much in abundance that if you run out, you can come to my house and get some. And if I don't have enough, you can stumble over to his house and you can have a little more. Whatever you need, it's in the kingdom of God, because God has blessed you in abundance. In this text, Paul begins to write, and he talks about the bondwoman, and the bondwoman is Hagar, which represents the law, because God gave Moses the law. And Hagar, she represents the law, but how many of you know that the promise is bigger than the law? God's promise is greater than the law. So when Jesus came, he is the promise of God, and he came to fulfill the law, which means, now check out God's promise. Listen, I've seen people go to court, and the law said they were going to do 10 to 20. And God whispered in the ear and said, I have a promise over this one. And instead of getting 10 to 20, he got free, because there was a promise on his life. There's some folks in here that should have been doing penitentiary time, but there was a promise over your life. And see, you have to know and understand, this promise was there before you even got in trouble. He just needed to let you get in trouble so that he can show how powerful the promise is over the law. They moved before God, but God still fulfilled the promise. So he promised Abraham that he shall be blessed. He promised Abraham that all his children shall be blessed. He said, and all of the inheritance for generations shall be blessed. Oh, goodness. So he used one birth to bless all of us and paint a picture of what was to come, because we were all up under the law at one time, but there was one birth. But what I noticed about the text is God is so big on mothers. Listen, mothers are the best thing since sliced bread. I just got to tell you, there's nothing greater than a mother. A mother is so gentle in nature. A daddy would tell you, hurry up and get up. You tough. You tougher than that. A mother would say, leave my baby alone. Let me hold my baby for a while. I'm going to nurture my baby. I'll let you know when it's time. Listen, anybody could mess with the children, but let a mother come in the room. A mother's wings just fought wide open, and she could be the sweetest mother in the world, but mess with one of her children. Mess with a lion's cub. A woman becomes king of the jungle when it comes to messing with one of her children. In the beginning, God put man and woman in the garden. He said, you shall have dominion. He didn't just tell Adam that you have dominion over this earth. He said, man and woman. Go ahead and nudge a woman and say, you got some dominion up in here. Understand how valuable the woman is. Now, the woman was tricked in the garden. The woman, she got tricked by the evil one. And then she got tricked and came back. And she put it on Adam. See, a woman is powerful.
and persuasive. So she went back to Adam and got Adam to partake as well. But God is so awesome that God is a God of restoration that when it came time for the promise to be fulfilled, he said, Mary, where are you? I need a woman. And see, God looked at the woman because I had to get deep down in the text and say, God, why the woman? How come you didn't use man? And I said, I thought about it for a minute. I said, I don't want no labor pain. Because I remember, and see, that's exactly why God didn't use man, because men make up too many excuses. Don't you remember in the garden when he said, Adam, where are you? What have you done? Well, that woman did it, man. And that's what happened. God said, I need to use a woman, because a woman, no matter what it is, she'll dig herself in and stay the journey. I'm telling you right now, I don't know if I could have been kicked on the inside for 8 months, 6, 7 months. I don't know if I could have went through all of that, but a woman endures to the end, takes a kicking while they're on the inside, and the truth of the matter, when those jokers come on the outside, they take some kicks of disrespect. They take some kicks of walking out. They take kicks of life after they give birth. Women are meant to endure. God knows what he's doing. As a matter of fact, when I was looking in the Bible, when he freed them out of Egypt after they had been making bricks all those years, he brought them out, he brought them across the Red Sea, and they got across the Red Sea and they got happy. And a woman said, y'all tripping. We gonna praise God. See, a woman knows how to lead. And that's why I don't, listen, a woman can come and lead anytime if they got the Spirit of God. And see, when a woman steps into the Spirit of God, a woman can wreak havoc on the enemy. How do I know? One day I was bound up by dope and alcohol and women, and my mama went down on her knee and said, not my child, devil. You can't have my child. I'll stay on my knee until change comes. I believe she had a flashback and said, this joker kicked me in my belly all those times, God. I know you're going to save him. I'm going to stay here until you save my child. A free woman is designed to pray. A free woman. There's some free women in here. When a free woman gets revelation that her victory is in her prayer. See, the enemy has tricked some of the women because they had to be both man and woman. Because sometimes men gets out of position. But I got revelation for the women today. You don't have to be the man. You just got to know the man. Isaiah 54:5 said, he is your husband, man. If you got him, you got everything you need. You hold on to him. And the one that left you, you'll be saying, bye-bye, baby. You wasn't the one anyway. I'm hooked up with the man that I need. And if I need one in this realm, he'll send me one. But until then, I'm going to stay hooked up with the true husband man. Let's get ready to go home. Let me close it up. So then, he shows us that God is a full God of restoration. And he has purpose locked up in all of us. And so he chose woman to bring life into the world. And he chose man that he would labor and that he would team up with the woman so that they could be in harmony
And so that when people see them teamed up, they see a reflection of the church. Now, that's God's design purpose. And so what was missing under the law is that the people were not filled with the Spirit of God. And so when God said, let me make this thing right, I have to set them free. And who the Spirit sets free is free indeed. He says, let me start off with the woman, because she's going to bring life into this world. And any free woman that brings life into this world because they came through freedom, then freedom is attached to them. What am I saying? Listen, if you are a free woman, you don't have to worry about your children anymore, because if they wander away because they came in free, they shall be free. That's what God has instituted, that you don't have to worry no more. So look at your children might end up like me, coming home drunk or too high and then freaking out. But one day God said that enough is enough. And then all those nights of worry turn into worship. But I'm trying to cancel some of that out right now. And all the women that are free need to just man up. When I say man up, that's woman up. And just know that you have all power locked up in you. You listen, okay, walk out on me if you want to. I got a man. You better go ahead and read Isaiah 54:5. I got the true husband man. And if you meant to be with me, you'll be like the Terminator 2. You'll be back. Yeah, because why? God, when God does something. God said, Jesus. If you look back in chapter 4, verse 5, it says, in the fullness of time. So God is waiting for the perfect time to bless you. Oh, goodness. But check this out. Galatians 6 and 9. We need to throw that up there real quick. The fullness of time. Listen, how many of you are in the middle? You know that there's promise, but you're still in the middle going towards the promise. Is there anybody in here that's walking towards the promise? Huh? You've received some of the promises of God, but it has not been fulfilled yet. So right now you're in the middle. What do you do when you're stuck in the middle? Galatians 6 and 9 says, don't grow weary in well-doing. So what should you do while you're waiting on God? Hallelujah. Keep doing good. Keep being a blessing. In the promises, in Genesis, it says, you shall be blessed and you shall be a blessing. Now, God works backwards. He sets up your victory and then he walks you to it. So while we're waiting, we should be working on being a blessing. Who is it that I could bless today? Why you want to bless somebody? Because my blessing is on the way. And if I don't grow weary in well-doing, oh goodness, don't grow weary in well-doing, for you shall reap. If we don't lose heart, if you don't give up. Yeah, Pastor, but I'm broken, I'm busted. Don't give up. Yeah, but I'm toe up from the flow up, but there's still a little get up. Well, use the get up. And while you're getting up, God's so awesome that while you're weak, he'll send somebody that's strong. And see, if I want to give up, if I just fall, I can't fall. Because he sent somebody in my life that'll hold me up when I want to quit. He'll send somebody in my life that won't let me quit. You know how it was, women, when you were on that table in labor wanting to give up, but there was something inside of you that wouldn't let you give up, and you knew that if you just push just one more time. That's what I want to tell you. While you're waiting on God, just give it another push. Time you feel like giving up, so somebody's giving you a hard time, just they say, what's wrong with you? I just felt the push. I'm gonna keep on moving. Why? Because no weapon
In due time. My baby's due. You know, I'm reflecting. When women get in that last month, they all be rubbing on their belly. Take a look. I don't know why, but they be rubbing. And I thought, well, why do they be rubbing all the time? Because they know it's good. You know how you get something good and you just go, And when you got something good in you, and I'm talking about a spiritual pregnancy now. Something's about to break loose. You was walking around up under the law and pregnant, men and women. And then one day, the Spirit of God met you, and conception, the Spirit of Christ got born in you. And now all the promises of God are in you, and they shall come out of you in the fulfillment of time. So now we don't lose hope, because we are not to freak out. We are to faith it out. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. Do I have any hopeful people? Do you hope it get better? Do you hope things work out? Do you hope God turn it around? Do you hope God raise you up? Do you hope? I hope my friend get delivered. I hope my buddy gets delivered. I hope my enemy changes. I hope my job comes my way. I hope I get a promotion. I hope, I hope, I hope. So then, he says, the free woman, she gives birth. And freedom is attached to her. So that when the fulfillment of time came, Jesus said, Mary, your sister messed up. Eve, way back in the garden. Come here, Mary, because I'm a God of restoration. I got to restore the reputation of the woman. Now, you understand why God had to choose woman, because she got tricked the first time. And so he says, the very thing that tricks you, now I'm going to use you to populate the world with my people. And when you populate the world with my people, then I'm going to come and deliver them and give them the spirit of freedom. And because you're a woman, I need you, Mary. And Mary's like, well, what's going on? I'm not good enough for this. I'm not qualified for this. He says, it's not for you to be qualified. It's just for you to be willing. Do I have any willing people to be used by God? God says, you just be willing, and then I'll qualify you. You can never qualify yourself. It's going to take a move of God for your situation to change. It's going to take a move of God for you to walk into the excellency of God. So he says, Mary! Come here, Mary. I'm going to fill you with my son. So Mary, she said, all right, I'm going to have to take some flack, because the folks are going to say, you ain't as virtuous as you were pretending to be. You know how it is when, you know, you live right and you make a mistake and everybody judge you like they didn't make one. I just want to set everybody free today. If you haven't made a mistake, I just want you to stand up and start shouting if you haven't made one. I didn't think so. So everybody in here, everybody in here, everybody in here is in the same position with God. And everybody in here is still waiting on God. And everybody in here is still being perfected by God. And everybody in here will always have faults until that day when he comes and transforms us. So he said, Mary! Don't trip on the naysayers, for you are called by the Most High God. He gives Mary this baby, and he comes. And all during the time, can you imagine carrying around something, knowing it's got to come out? I'm talking to you because I feel your spirit. And God has called you to be more. He says you're more than a conqueror. And some of us are still trying to focus on walking in abundance because you keep looking at what you don't have. The reason why it's empty is because God has to fill it and you keep trying to fill it. But he wants you to trust him this time. This time it's got to be his way. Every time he lets you have your way, you done messed it up. But this time it's going to be his way. So you can start speaking. Oh, goodness. God is a God who speaks to the thing. Let there be light. So you, anything that's empty, you need to start speaking the word of God over your empty circumstance. What am I saying? If your marriage is tore up, start speaking power into your marriage. If your finances start tore up, start speaking power, and I'll never be broke again. God filled my cup. He's making it overflow. When you begin to speak the word of God over your situation and stop talking all this negative stuff, it will change your situation. I told you don't get out of here early. We're going to stop right here. We're going to stop right here. Embrace it. Embrace it. He's given you power through your tongue. He's given you a position in him. He's given you provisions because he has everything you need. And he's given you peace. And you're free. You're free from worrying. So stop going to that jail cell. You're free from doubting. Next time you get ready to doubt, walk by that jail cell. You're free. And who the Spirit has set free is free indeed. You got what it takes. No matter where you are in life, you have what it takes to fulfill what he has placed in you. All in this room, there's new life. There are souls attached to you. And God positions his people in high places. Are you ready for the promotion? Because the promotion starts down. The only reason why he allows you to get toe up is so he could build you up. Do I have anybody that's been through it? Do I have anybody that's still in it? This is what God said. He says, don't get weary now. I know you got, listen, I know you got quit on your mind, but he put staying power in you. This too shall pass. It's not that bad. But as, listen. But if we can just keep doing well. When you don't feel like smiling, smile anyway. When you don't feel like coming to church, come anyway. When you don't feel like praying for yourself, don't. Pray for me. I'm just trying to get you in the will of God. It says, pray ye one for another. And when you stop praying for you and start praying for somebody else, God said, ooh, that lines up with my will. Oh, they said, oh, they're in agreement. Oh, they're praying my will. And I said, oh, if they pray according to my will, it shall be done. God's been waiting on you to stop praying for you and begin to pray for somebody else so that his will can be done, oh goodness, in your life as it is in heaven. God is waiting on us. But he started right by giving us these great gifts called mothers. And they're free. And because of that freedom,
we're free today. That's why we can always rejoice, because he freed the woman to free all of us. Everybody give God a hand of praise. So when Mary got to heaven, Eve gave her a high five and said, "Thanks, baby. I knew we could do it." You see, sometimes, you know, we let things cause separation. And God wants the church to come together. If you got it together and somebody don't have it together, and if you come together with them, because you're operating in an anointing of togetherness. Listen, the anointing represents fire. Anything you put up against fire is going to burn. So when people are operating outside, that's why I don't mind kicking it with sinners. That's who I kick it with. The pastor, why are you hanging out with them? Because they need me. I got Jesus. They need him. Yeah, but they cuss like that. Yeah, I used to too. I got delivered. He'll deliver them too. Bring every sinner you know to church. I promise I won't talk about them. We got to come together. I'm going to tell you something. And I haven't been peeping through your window. Every one of you are dealing with some area of sin. Every one of you. You're dealing with something. And you don't got to be peeping over. The Holy Spirit, listen, we all deal, and he's cleaning us. Because we're free from it. But that's the only thing that keeps us chasing after God. Because we need his help. And the truth of the matter is, now we can come together. Because we know we all have issues. But God has promises. And the promises are over his children. Amen. He said, "You should have life and have it more abundantly." Amen. Now I got to ask, is everybody in abundance? And sometimes we equate abundance to money. Somebody was telling me the other day, I'm done, we're getting really close. Someone was telling me the other day, he said, "Yeah, man, it's my birthday." I said, "Oh, happy birthday." He said, "Thank you." I said, "How you doing?" He said, "I'm okay." I said, "Just okay? What do we got to do to be get to good and great? What's up? I need to encourage this brother, right?" He said, "Well, I'd be doing a lot better if I had some money." I said, "Don't you work?" "Yeah." "Okay, you don't have no money?" "No." I said, "Okay." I said, "There's some very rich people that are laying up in life support. Now I'm going to ask you again, how you doing?" I said, "Because I would much rather have good health than a whole lot of money. Because with good health, you can get a whole lot of money. But if you don't have no good health, you can't even spend the money that you have. And we need to thank God. For just keep, I mean, if you were able to get in church today, you ought to be happy today." Everybody rest to your feet. We're going to go home. Listen. Most of us in here are saved. We are. Most of us in here have confessed Jesus as Lord. Okay? And I'm going to tell you the truth. Some of us are selfish because we came to church to get. Yep. Let me help you. Nowhere in the Bible it says that. But he continues to tell us to give. Give, and then he says this. So we get first things first. Give, and it shall be given unto you. What? Good measures. And then he'll press it down and shake it together. And then it will overflow. Then he says, shall men put in your bosom. Okay? So listen, we come to give him praise. And we come believing for the one that's sitting next to us. Huh? And most of the time, we don't even get to know the people that are in the church. But your blessing is tied to praying for them. I'm praying for every mother in here. Why? Because you are one of the greatest gifts that walks the face of the earth this day. And God chose you to show us how to be submissive and how to be humble. Jesus himself with both man and woman. That's why the Bible said the disciple laid his head upon his breast. And we have to be tenderhearted and knowing that God is up to something. And he's up to changing you. He don't want to change your situation. He wants to change you. After he changes you, he'll get to the situation too. But first, he wants you. And we as believers should be praying right now that if there's anybody in here, that they'll become a believer today. Because the Bible says, if you confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, that you shall be saved and then sealed, which means nothing can take you from the promises of God. You are promised eternal life in heaven. It doesn't say you won't sin no more. It says you're promised eternal life. Every head bowed. And if there's anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus, have never confessed Jesus as their